Praise God, praise God, praise God. God is good, isn't that right? We talked about that last week, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you weren't here, you can go on the Rhema Bible Church Oklahoma City podcast and download, listen to it there on your phone or on a computer. Then I went on Wednesday night and preached about the same thing at Rhema Bible Church there in Tulsa, talking about the goodness of God. And so I want us to actually read our opening scripture that we read last week is Luke chapter 18. How many of you know Jesus can't lie? Isn't that right? He cannot lie. And we're going to talk tonight. We're not going to necessarily establish the fact that God is good, but we'll see this here that Jesus said that because he is good. Isn't that right? He is a good God. And we're going to talk about that, how it relates to us. Now that we know God's good, what does that do? What does that do for us as far as how we're supposed to be? Amen. And so we'll look at that tonight. Luke 18, verse 18 and 19. A certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God." Now here again, Jesus is not trying to be humble. He is humble. And it's not that Jesus isn't a good teacher and that he's not, you know, a good master. The word master literally means teacher. He's not good. He's just saying compared to God, there is none good. If it's good, it has to be God. How many of you know that's true? You know, I try to tell people, remind it, look, if you get anything good out of any sermon that I preach, it had to be God. All right? Because God is good. He is good. And compared to him, there is really no other goodness that is even worth talking about in that sense. All right? And then we went to the Old Testament, several scriptures where God named himself and where God said, you know, that he is good, that he's abundant in goodness. And that word that was translated goodness, it's translated loving kindness, it's translated mercies, it's translated several. It really is a word that means God is good. He is faithful to his covenant. And in that God is always faithful, that God is not a man that he should lie, that God is always going to do what he said he'd do, and he's always going to be good to us and have mercy, that his tender mercies are over all of his work. He's good to all. That's in the relationship to that. That's why it's a covenant word, that God who never changes, never has changed. The covenants have changed, but God has never changed. He has always been good. And so we established that. And of course, we brought it over and we finished up. I want to look at this scripture in Romans chapter 2 then, in talking about the goodness of God. Remember, God just didn't become good when Jesus went to the cross. God has always been good. He's always been good. And if you see something, you know, anything that God has done, the Bible says he's good to all. His tender mercies are over all his work. Anything that God has done in your life, it's because he's good. Amen. All right? Even if God has corrected you, he did it because he's good. Amen. And he's merciful. It's because of his mercy. It's because he wants to be good to you. If God has led you somewhere by his spirit, you've gone certain places, you've done something, it's because God wants to be good to you. Amen. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And the goodness of God is something that we should glorify, magnifying his mercy, glorifying his goodness. Hallelujah. Here in Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, he says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And now he's been talking about a lot of things here, especially in chapter 1 into chapter 2 here, that are just people today would say these are the most evil things on the earth. I mean, he mentions men and women who've left off the natural use of the women for men and the men for women, and they're lusting after one another, women with women, men with men. That which is against nature, he says, even that, those type of things, and unrighteousness, fornication, wicked. He mentions all these things, and he said, it's the goodness of God that's going to lead people to repentance. Right? That's why we always say, look, always run to God, never run away from God. Even as his child, don't ever run from him. Be like the prodigal son who finally came to him and says, I'm going to go home. At least my father treats his servants better than I'm being treated. What did he know? But he did know this about his father, that he was a good guy. And that's something important that we understand about God. Now, I want us to go to the book of Philemon. It's only got one chapter, and we're going to look at verse 6 here. Philemon, right there before Hebrews, in between Titus and Hebrews, is a real nice slice of cheese here called Philemon. I don't know if there's such a cheese called that, but amen. How many of you like to have a slice of cheese on your sandwich? Yes. I like a slice of cheese. Glory to God. Maybe I've had too many slices of cheese. That's another story. But reason I said slice of cheese is because it's thin, you know. It's just one chapter. But verse 6, moving right along. All right. He says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to point out here as I do, because every time I've just been instructed here of the Lord as I teach, anytime I would go to this scripture, that I talk about the three key words and then talk about this from different, and I've looked at this from different aspects. But the word communication there is your partnership or your fellowship, or I like this word, your participation. That as you put the participation of your faith may become effectual, meaning active and powerful. How many of you want to have active and powerful faith? Amen. I think we all would say that, right? Every Christian, they would say, well, we want to have active and powerful. Well, how does that come about? By the acknowledging. The word there, acknowledge, means to recognize or to fully discern. I like this. To have precise and correct knowledge of what? Every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. How many of you know we're in Christ? Amen. But he's also in us. Amen. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here to talk about that. And acknowledging every good thing that is in us. When we keep our mind and our thoughts and our words concerning the good things that God has already placed in us, then no matter what comes, see, there's nothing that is as great as the goodness of God. You know that? Those of you who've heard Pastor Craig preach, you know John 10:10, right? I call it Craig Hagin 10:10. The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. And from that, and from the rest of the scripture, we get this. God is good. The devil's bad. God is good. The devil, if it's bad, it had to come from the devil. If it kills, steals, and destroys, it came from the devil. Now, the thing about that, we have to understand this, that it's not like two sides of the coin. One side is God's goodness. The other side is the devil and being bad. No, God's goodness is far greater than any of the bad the devil has. You know, if you have a quarter, it's got two sides, right? We call it a heads and a tails, right? And if you put that up on the counter, if you need 25 cents, it doesn't matter if you put the head side up, tail side up, it's worth 25 cents, right? Well, it's not the same with God and the devil. They're not two sides of the same coin here. Not good and evil. All right? God is greater. He's greater. And his goodness is greater, if you let me say it this way, than the badness of the devil. Right? See, that life, and that life more abundantly, is greater than the killing, stealing, and destroying. Yes. I like what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. You see, when you have a law, if something sets you free from it, that means there's a greater law, a law that has more power, a law that has a greater input, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, that good, that's good. See, that's what's in me, in Christ. I'm in Christ, he's in me. So that law of the Spirit of life, or in other words, the life of the Spirit is in us. And it sets us free from the law of sin and death. Now you think about, any of you ever flown in an airplane? Any of you ever seen an airplane? Any of you ever seen a balloon filled with helium? All right. What happens in that? There's a law in place there that when that airplane goes in the air, that helium balloon flies up, there's a law that goes into place and goes into action that overcomes, for a time being, the law of gravity, right? Yeah. Now, thank God for the law of gravity. Otherwise, we'd be floating around in this room right now and, you know, who knows what we'd be banging into each other and everything else. But if you apply with an airplane, you apply lift and velocity and different things of that sort, certain principles, then you can fly in that airplane. But as soon as they shut the engine off, what happens to the plane? It's going down, right? The law of gravity. Well, see, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, just keep acknowledging it, keep thinking on it, and never shut it off. Just never shut it off. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what bad the devil tries to do. Thank God, the life of the Spirit's on the inside of me. And it's making me free from the law of sin and death. It's making me free right now in my body from sickness and disease. It's making me free. Amen. It's making me free from, you know, if you're here and you got blood sugar issues, it's making you free from blood sugar issues. If you're here, you got pain in your body, it's making you free from pain. Whatever it is and what's going on. If you got relationships problem, that law will take care of that. Amen. If you're having trouble in your mind, that law will take care of that. The life of the Spirit is in us, glory to God, setting us free from the law of sin and death, acknowledging those good things that are in us. So go to John 17 with me. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, part of that song we didn't sing about Waymaker is, even when I can't see it, it's working. Even when I don't feel it, it's working. It never stops. Never stops working. Glory to God. That law never stops working. Just keep acknowledging it's working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like one guy I heard say, healing in the morning, healing in the noontime, healing when the sun goes down. I'm just always got that life in me going on all the time. John 17, verse 21 says that they all may be one. Jesus is praying here. How many think Jesus gets his prayers answered? I think he probably does. He says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they also may be one. Now notice this, in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, we have established that God is what? Good. So if he says here, Father, you are in me, he's saying, you could say it this way, along with many other things, God is love, right? He's life, he's light, but he's good. You could say it this way, that Father, your goodness is in me, and I am in your goodness. Because if God's in you and you're in him, you're in the goodness, you see. And that they may be one in us. Always inviting us into that. And he said, the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me. All right, let's stop right there. If Jesus is in us and God's in him and God's good, guess what's in us? The goodness of God. It's in me. It's in me. We're going to look later. You know it is. But you may never have put two and two together and thought of it this way. But you think about the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's inside of us. What's one of the fruit? Goodness. Why? Because all those things are in us because God's in us by his what? Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It's in us. That goodness. That mercy. That loving kindness. That faithfulness, it's in us, glory to God. It's in us. And we should acknowledge it, that the goodness of God is in me. Yes. Yes. Amen. See, there in Psalm 107, it said, you know, talked about the goodness of God, verse 1. Then in verse 2, it said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've always said, well, like we said last week, well, we said, well, say I'm redeemed. Well, that's true. But he's actually in context. If you read it, he said, let the redeemed of the Lord talk about the goodness of God. Yes. Amen. Testify about how good God has been. Testify. You know, that's when we take some of these missions trips through there at Rhema and people Rhema about. You guys could all come to one of those trips if you wanted to. They're during spring break. But we tell people, you know, get a testimony, a good testimony. Something talking about how good God is. Amen. You know, you may not be able to preach a whole sermon, but you ought to be able to tell a good testimony in your life. How that God's been good to you. I mean, you know, you say, well, I don't know if God's been good to me. How many of you woke up this morning and had air to breathe when you woke up?
Come on.
God was good for it to you. Amen. You didn't have to try to invent some machine to make air. God made air already there for us. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just let the little things, you know, glory to God. I thank God, you know, we spent here a couple weeks ago, and well, first 2 weeks of July, I was in East Africa there and had a couple days. Power went out. I thank God the power's on tonight. Amen. One day we had a couple days the water main busted and we didn't have any water. Thank God for water. We were two and a half days without our luggage. Thank God we got, you know, now we got a change of clothes. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, just thank God for the simple things that you forget. Just the simple things. All right. So he talks about him being in us. I want to go to Colossians chapter 1 now. I said this to you before. God knew everything that we would need. So he put everything that we would need in Christ because he knew he was going to put Christ in us. God knew everything you'd ever need. And he put everything you'd ever need in Christ because he put Christ in you. He put Christ in me. Now, what does God call it? He calls it the fullness of God. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. All fullness dwell. He talks later on in that chapter about Christ in us, the hope of glory, the glory of God. That makes God God. But look over in chapter 2 also. Look over there in chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. For in him, in who? Talking about Christ. In Christ Jesus dwells all. Everybody say all. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not, listen, he didn't leave anything out. He didn't say, oh, there's not enough. No, he put all the fullness of the Godhead in Christ, in him. And the Bible says we are complete in him. We're in him. He's in us. Wow. Amen. Point to yourself and say, God's in me. Say, the goodness of God is in me. Tell your neighbor, the goodness of God is in you. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. Romans, the 15th chapter. You know, he talks about, the Word of God talks about that we're created unto good works. He calls it good. I don't think that's a mistake here, you know, that we are his workmanship, created unto good works. He calls them good. It goes along with what he said that he does. His mercy, tender mercies over all of his works. He's good to all. And that what we're called to do is to act and to share the goodness of God with humanity. Yes. Amen. You know, sometimes I think it'd be important for us to just stop and think, you know, really, the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a citizen of heaven. You belong there. You could live there right now. Now, this body would have to be changed, but that's all right. That's nothing for God. We could live there right now, but we are left here on earth as his ambassadors. Meaning we're still here because there's people that God wants to still be good to. They haven't heard. They haven't heard the message. They haven't, you know, there's going to be here in just a few years, 8 billion people, if there's not already, on the earth. And there's billions of people that have not heard, even heard the name of Jesus. They haven't heard that God is good. They haven't heard the gospel, which is the good news, that God was in Christ. Not imputing, not counting your trespasses against you. And Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you be reconciled to God. See, I'm by the goodness of God. God's good. Be reconciled to him. He's removed that barrier that's been between us. He's removed it. There is no more sin barrier except for you not accepting the payment of it. That he has borne our sins. Glory to God. Here in Romans 15, look what Paul said concerning these Christians there. Verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Let me stop there for a moment. If you're believing God, you're going to have joy and peace. You're not going to be struggling. You're not going to be down, not going to be depressed. What's going on? Oh, I'm believing God. No, if you're believing God, you have joy and you have peace. Why? Because believing means when you believe, it's already done. It's already done. Well, I don't see it. Well, I don't care if you see it. Even when you don't see it, he's working. See, that's what believing's got joy and peace ahead of time. And sometimes, you know, when it does show up, you're just like, yep. People are like, I think you'd be more excited. I got excited when I found out in the word it was mine and I prayed and believed. Hallelujah. That's when I got excited about it. Amen. But he says, enjoy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. See, confident expectation through the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Now, why are we full of goodness? Because the fullness of God is in Christ and Christ is in us. Woo, glory to God. Wall to wall, good, full, not halfway full, not a full, he said, of goodness. Amen. That's the goodness of God. I can't get away from it because everywhere I go, I'm taking it with me. Yes. That's right. The goodness of God. We talked last time about, you know, the psalmist said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the New Testament, the goodness is in us. Yes. The mercy is in us. It's a nice illustration about it following us, but we're in this new covenant. He put his goodness in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Think about it. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For God was with him. Well, if God's with him and he healed all and he called that good, then we've got that same goodness in us. Hallelujah. And we can let it loose. He said, filled with all knowledge, also able also to admonish one another. Now let's look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. That goodness is in us. That goodness, glory to God. And we can operate in that goodness. We can demonstrate the goodness of God every day of our lives, in every moment. Now, I know we don't want it. We're not going to take those type of testimonies, but we've probably all had opportunities to be good and didn't act in it. Amen. You know. But, you know, I had an opportunity. Opportunity, that's a new word. I had an opportunity just today. I was sitting someplace and heard two people having a conversation about some current event. And they said, well, that's so-and-so's fault. And I decided, be good. Just be good. Don't say anything. They didn't ask you your opinion. Just be good. Just be good. I was far enough away from them. I just said, Lord, just bless them. Bless them if you can. Be good to him, God, because it was the most ignorant statement you ever heard in your life. You know, when people want to blame people, it's not that, it's the devil. It's wrong thinking. Isn't that right? It's a heart issue, isn't it, with people? Galatians 5, look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many of you know this about fruit trees or any type of plant? The actual fruit grows, but the life of the fruit comes from within the plant, right? So the life of the fruit comes because an apple grows fruit because it's an apple tree and the nutrients come from within it. Well, the fruit of the Spirit here, it's okay. The King James puts a capital S there, fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's fine because that's how we have this. But really in context, he's really talking about the fruit of our recreated human spirit, the new creature that we are in Christ, that the fruit that it should produce and that we should produce in our life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Now notice this right there, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. What does it mean? There's no higher law. There's no law that's going to supersede the goodness of God. There's no law that's going to supersede the joy of God. There's no law that's going to supersede the love of the Spirit. You see, there's no law against such. You can't make a law that's greater than that law. Amen. Why? It's that law of the Spirit of life. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if I was doing on the outside what's happening on my inside right now, as we're talking about this, whoo, glory to God. I'm getting excited. I'm preaching myself happy. That's all right. Amen. That goodness, it's a fruit. Now, you think about fruit. A fruit tree doesn't grow the fruit for itself. It benefits someone else, right? And so, yes, the love, we're to love others. To have that joy makes us, the joy of the Lord's our what? Strength, the Old Testament says. But that joy, peace for others, then long suffering, gentleness, goodness. Now, some more modern translations say goodness, say kindness. Or gentleness, kindness. That's okay. That's the same thing. Now, how many of you know that love is patient and what? Kind. In other words, you could say it's good. Love is good. Love is good to people. Love desires to do good. Amen? Not to do bad to somebody, but to do good. Well, this is something that's in us. And these fruit, we know this. You probably, I mean, been in Christianity long enough. You know that these are things we are to develop, and they're in us, but we need to develop in them. How do you develop them? Put them into practice. Put them into practice. Find out what the Word of God has to say about each of these. Meekness. Meekness is never weakness. Meekness is really humility. Jesus said, come and take my yoke upon you, me, you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. Now, was Jesus weak? Absolutely not. He was not weak at all. Amen? I mean, he cast out every devil that he came in contact with. Healed every person that came to him for healing. He healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. They couldn't kill him. He had to lay his life down. That's how strong he was. And he was meek, he said. See, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. And then temperance. Glory to God. The self-control that you and I need is already inside of us. See, I think a lot of times we've tried to use psychology and mind sciences and willpower to do things that are already in us. Does that make sense to you? It's already in there. Just develop it and let it out. It's not so much. And yeah, we need to think right. We need to have right thinking. That's very, very important. We need to think. That's what he said. By the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you. That's talking about your thinking. Absolutely. I'm not against good, sound thinking. But let's make it according to what the Bible says, right? Think along that line. And then Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn over there. Ephesians chapter 5. And then I want to read you Noah Webster's dictionary, the Webster Dictionary, the old one there, where he used scripture to illustrate his dictionary, his definition of goodness. All right, Ephesians 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All goodness. The fruit of the Spirit. It's in all goodness. Notice that. That he brings that goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, we've heard a lot about righteousness and truth. And, those are things that are kind of magnified. I mean, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And to talk about the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But here, notice he puts goodness right there and actually lists it first. Goodness. The goodness of God. It's a powerful, powerful, listen to me now, spiritual force because God is good. It's of God and God is a spirit. So goodness is a spiritual force. Now listen to what Mr. Webster says. He says goodness as a noun is the state of being good. Well, that makes sense. It can be a physical quality such as excellence or perfection, the goodness of timber or the goodness of soil. He says the moral qualities, which constitute Christian excellence. He says goodness is tied to Christian excellence, is moral virtue, moral, and then with that moral religion. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. He puts that scripture right there to show that it's a moral quality that is part of Christian excellence. He says the second definition is kindness, meaning this, benevolence. Benevolence, that's doing good for others, right? But more generally, acts of kindness, charity. He says it's humanity exercise. In a sentence, he says, I shall remember his goodness to me with gratitude. Then he says this, another definition, kindness, meaning benevolence of nature or showing mercy. And in that scripture in Exodus 34, verse 6 there, the Lord is, or 5 and 6, the Lord is good. The Lord God is abundant in goodness and truth. He's abundant in benevolence. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, God is never limited in himself about how much good he can do. Now, man, we might limit him. I might limit the good God can do for me, but God is never limited. In other words, he's never going to run out. He can be good to everybody in the world at the same time, all 8 billion people, if there's that many. God could be good to them and still have enough goodness left over, right? It's because he's good. Hallelujah. He's not going to run out. He also says this, kindness is favor shown, doing acts of benevolence or acts of compassion or showing mercy. He says in Exodus 18, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which Jehovah had done to Israel, showing acts, showing compassion and acts of mercy. You know, many times throughout the Gospels, the Bible makes the statement that Jesus was moved with compassion. Why? Because he's following God. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. He says, my Father shows me what I must do, and I do it. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. See, he's doing the work of God. And so that's why when somebody came that need that compassion, that goodness rose up from within him. And the Bible says he ministered to them because of that compassion. One was that leper, you know. He came to him and said, if you're able, you can make me. He said, if you're willing, you can make me whole. Jesus moved with compassion, stretched forth his hand and touched him. You don't touch a leper. But I'm telling you, the goodness of God, the compassion of God will rise up and cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally aren't supposed to do and protect you. Glory to God. And he laid his hands on. He said, I will, be thou clean. Immediately he was healed of his leprosy because of the compassion of God. Amen. I mean, I'll never forget the first person there in East Africa years ago. This was 1996 that I ever ministered to. They came up. I said, "Well, what is, we had time to talk with her. What is it?" And they said, "I've got AIDS." And something just rose up inside of me. I don't know what it is. I grabbed a hold of that person and I hugged them tight and I started praying over them. And you know, they're sweating. I mean, there's, you know, exchange of fluids. We're sweating on each other. It's hot. But I'm telling you, the compassion of God just rose up, rose up within me. Amen. I mean, it's just when God's goodness, and that's how he says here, you know, we ought to be operating in that, because that is the fruit of the Spirit. It's in goodness. Let that goodness, let that show acts of compassion, do acts of benevolence, show mercy to others, because that's God's nature. He's a merciful God. He's a good God, and we're his children. Let it be said, like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Sometimes we ought to ask ourselves, well, who did I demonstrate today? Amen. You know, when I pulled up next to that person who doesn't know how to drive and I yelled at him, who did I demonstrate today? Me or the goodness of God? And they're out there, folks. There's folks out there that do not know how to drive. Can I get a witness in this place? All right. I get a witness in this place. They're out there. Hallelujah. But, you know, who am I going to be good? You know, it's like I heard Keith Moore say one time, you know, you want to just say, well, the Lord bless you. Amen. See, you can choose to be good with your words. Are we speaking good things? Are we speaking good over our jobs? Are we speaking the goodness of God over our family? Are we speaking the goodness of God over our children? Are we speaking, you know, it's such a sad thing. I was talking to a man and I, you know, she's got an education background and taught elementary school for years that's her degree area of study and her master's in education. And it's so sad sometimes you run into teachers, bless their heart, that they actually tell children that they're never going to make it, that they can't do it. And just, I know that, you know, she went at a new school and was doing a program and was asking children of a certain grade to do some math problems. And those teachers, they can't do that here. And man is like, sure they can. I had third graders back in my other school that did these things. And these were fifth graders. But they didn't believe the best, and they didn't speak goodness over them. But we've got the goodness of God in us. Let's speak good. Let's guard our tongue. Let's let the fruit of the Spirit come in. Let's let that goodness just come out of us. How many of you know God speaks good things over us?
Amen.
Amen. He's speaking good things over us right now. He calls us healed. He calls us delivered. He calls us set free. He calls us his child. Amen. Hallelujah. He calls us redeemed. He calls us. Take too long just to go through all the good things that God has spoken over us. The Bible says he rejoices over us. He rejoices over his children with singing. God's in heaven singing about you, and he's singing good things about you. Amen. How many want to hear God sing sometime? Amen. I believe we will. Amen. When we get to that place. Glory to God. He is good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just want to challenge us all. Let's not just talk about the goodness of God. Let's be good to others with the goodness of God that is in us. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, show others comfort with the comfort with which you have been comforted. That where God has helped you, help others with it. As God has been good to you, share that goodness with someone else who's in the same situation. Not to brag on yourself, but brag on the goodness of God. Amen? Not talking about how good we are, but how good God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you. Father, I speak your goodness over this congregation, over everyone in it. Father, you are good and you want to be good to them. And if they're a child of God, you're already in them. That goodness is in them, Father God. I speak the good word of healing and life over them. I speak good words, Father, over their finances. I speak the goodness of God over their relationship, goodness of God over their children and their families, the goodness of God over their vehicles, Father God, and over their houses, the place that they live. The goodness of God surrounds them. It's in them. It just cannot be contained, glory to God. That goodness, hallelujah. And we glorify your goodness, Father, and magnify your mercy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you need prayer for anything, Glenn and Heather are going to come. They'll be up here after service. Come to them. First time guests. We're so glad that you're here tonight. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. If you're out of town, traveling our area, you can go ahead and go with them. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. We've got a special gift for them. Give them a hand clap. Amen. Good to see folks here. Amen. It's good to see all of you here. Amen. Come back next Sunday night. I believe Pastor Hagin's scheduled to be here next Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken. Is that? Well, Greg's out there. I don't know. But they're getting rest. Craig's doing the same thing, getting some rest before the fall schedule gets going. All right? Over there at Rhema. Pray for us. Pray that God sends us, is good to us with the students that he sends us. Amen. And with the number of students that he sends us. And that they come, they'll experience everything that they need. Once again, if you need prayer, coming up, Glenn and Heather pray with you according to the word of God. If not, we are dismissed. Shake hands with somebody. Let them know that you love them in the Lord. Amen. God bless you.